The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and for the next hour, lots of information you can use about choosing the right foods, choosing the right supplements, what specifically you can do to enhance your health and well-being. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And I'm looking, we've touched on the topic of raw milk over the years. And the issue is really not necessarily about raw milk.
It isn't?
No.
I thought all this time?
No.
Oh, dear. Okay.
The issue is actually about protecting an industry.
Well, okay. And I'm going to jump right into this barrel of monkeys and say government mandates that tend to protect industry. Because it's illegal, and being illegal from marijuana to raw milk protects certain industries.
Yeah, I think that's what it's about. It's not that raw milk is bad for you, but it can be. You have to understand, certain things about raw milk.
Well,
but it's not as bad as you've been, I think, led to believe.
It's an industry. And so you speak with people who've grown up on farms and raised their own animals, poultry and dairy cows and so on. They milked the cow and drank the milk.
Well, people have been drinking raw milk from animals for thousands of years.
So all kinds of animals.
So raw milk, they shouldn't stigmatize milk and call it raw milk. That's natural milk. You see, that's milk. What you buy in the store is not milk.
What you buy in the store is adulterated milk.
Or they say a white liquid. Because that's the only resemblance to milk it has is its color.
Wow.
So for thousands of years, people have been drinking milk, not just from cows. They could drink it from goats, sheep, camels, yak, water buffalo. I like to see who's milking the water buffalo. But horses, donkeys, even reindeer, primitive people, this was an important food source for people, and they've been drinking raw milk for thousands of years, unprocessed, and it's been safe and a reliable food source for a long time. Even in the tropics, and centuries before refrigeration had been invented, people were drinking raw milk. And part of what they did, though, they proved the benefits of fermentation and they feel that fermentation actually made milk even better.
Absolutely. Those beneficial bacteria.
So how did it happen? I think it was yesterday, in the early 1900s or late 1800s is when they started pasteurizing milk. So for thousands and thousands of years, it didn't need to be pasteurized. So what happened all of a sudden that it needed to be pasteurized? When did milk become a deadly food? I think that's really an interesting question. It wasn't deadly for thousands of years. All of a sudden, it became deadly.
Possibly when people with an economic goal in mind decided to change the feed that they were giving the dairy herds?
I think that's part of it, but there's more to it. I think if you look at how, life in this country evolved, used to be farm-based, so people would have their own cow on their farm, and they would probably make milk for themselves. They might have extra. They would sell it.
And where was the cow getting food? It was grazing right. On grass.
Grass-fed, exactly. Then the Industrial Revolution hit our country, and cities began to grow, and the people that were on the farms were now moving to the cities because that's where the jobs were. And by the year 1810, there were dozens of water-powered operations lining the rivers of southern New England, all staffed by thirsty workers. So, they wanted milk.
And other drinks.
They also wanted whiskey. Now, this was before Prohibition, so whiskey was okay back then, too. Then there was a short time where they made alcohol illegal. Why was that again? Was that a danger to the public?
Well, it was a certain segment of the population that felt that it was debasing the family. So there was a very, very strong movement against alcohol, literally to save the moral content of the family.
Well, what's interesting is that I guess milk, raw milk, or milk in its natural state, is a more dangerous beverage than alcohol because alcohol is legal now.
Very good point.
So here's what happened. So with the War of 1812, this country used to get a lot of its alcoholic beverages from Europe, but at that time they couldn't get it, so they had to start making it at home.
Well, they'd been making, I'm going to say the early colonists had for years and years and years been making their own in little homemade backwoods distilleries. Oh. And I think the tax collectors didn't really care for that homemade operation.
But the demand was so great, that's why they more distilleries opened up. And here's what happened at that time. Some entrepreneur said, you know, we've got all these distilleries. There's a lot of edible waste, waste that we could feed to cows. So they had these cows confined. So maybe those were the first CAFOs or CAFO. How do you say CAFO or CAFO?
CAFO,
confined,
I would
animal
say.
Animal feeding operation.
Right.
So they would have these cows confined adjacent to the distillery and feed them with the hot swill left over from the spirit-making process.
Ooh.
You know, they said, why not? We can do that. But so what happened? So you had distillery dairy milk, which was of extremely poor quality. And many of those drinking it actually got sick. Why did they get sick? Because forget about the poor food the cows were being given to eat. You know, they weren't grazing on grass anymore. You know, they were eating an unnatural diet. They were confined. And what happens when you confine animals like this? They live in filth. They live with their own manure. And the type and the quality of the milk that they were producing was a very, very poor quality. In fact, you couldn't even make butter or cheese from it, which means it was very low in fat. And then they had sick workers with dirty hands, diseased animals, and a number of contaminants in unsanitary milk pails, and you had a recipe for disaster.
And so what do we do for that? With modern technology currently, we still have the very, very unsanitary conditions. We still have the very, very poor quality food, but we've solved the problem, Dr. Slavin.
That's it. That's where it came up with. So milk was never a problem food. It became a problem food because they changed how cattle were raised. They raised it in unsanitary conditions. And by the way, just, if you can picture life at that time, It wasn't just the cows living in unsanitary conditions. It was people, too. They didn't have sewage. Here's an interesting thing. Remember now, people, this is before cars, so people, rode horses. Horses,
this is a delicate area now.
Horse droppings on the road.
Okay.
And, it would rain, and you can imagine the unsanitary conditions, and this is why you saw so many illnesses. And when all these conditions were corrected, except for the confined animal feeding operations, we got cars that got the horses off the road. So the point is, the milk became unsafe to drink because of how it was being produced. So instead of trying to go back to producing safe milk, they said, we'll just take that bacteria-laden milk and pasteurize it. So we'll kill all the bacteria, and then people can continue to drink it without worrying about getting sick. So this is what I meant by protecting the feedlots, the feeding operations. Instead of mandating that, cows be raised in their natural state, but it could never happen because they had too many cows, not enough area for grazing. And this is why, even to this day, this picture continues.
A very, very sad picture. And that's what you said, Dr. Slavin. To this day, the picture continues. And people truly don't have any concept of what they're drinking. And they're relying on the advertising industry to support their decision-making. Milk, it does a body good. And you see a very happy face with a milk mustache. But the truth of the matter is, if there is any nutrient benefit to the milk that's being sold in our supermarkets, it certainly has been eliminated by the pasteurization process as well as the homogenization process. So pasteurization killing all of the enzymes and any vitamin content that might be in the milk, and I'm going to venture to say it's most likely very poor. The homogenization, breaking down the molecule size, makes milk able to be digested improperly. So instead of doing a body good, I think the commercial milk available in supermarkets doesn't necessarily do a body good. And furthermore, Monsanto has won its suit against dairy farmers who wanted to produce organic milk that part of their feed that they're using genetically modified alfalfa. So the king of herbs, an absolutely high quality nutrient dense food that typically does very well for dairy herds, has been contaminated by genetic modification.
Janet, when we come back from the break, I want to get back a little bit of the history, because it wasn't always, the government's taking over and mandating, making milk, raw milk in its natural state, illegal. And we'll give you a little history how that came about. And even to this day, raw milk is illegal, correct?
Correct. It is the most smuggled substance into Manhattan illegally.
But it's legal for animal use, right?
Yes.
How do they tell who's drinking it after you...
In the privacy of your own home. Mm-hmm. What goes on?
I wonder, how many people are being arrested for... Which is a bigger crime, smoking marijuana or drinking raw milk?
Yes. And that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Talk Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We're talking about a dangerous business here, the sale of raw milk. Very, very interesting history, Dr. Slavin, that we were going to talk about when we came back from the break.
Yeah, I just want to just point out, if you go to this, the Center for Disease Control's website, they continue to warn you against drinking raw milk. I mean, they say it's deadly, basically. And they cite there were 148 outbreaks of illness from 1998 through 2011. And believe it or not, there were two deaths. Now let's put things in perspective now. Two deaths from drinking raw milk, but you have 3,000 Americans dying from other foodborne illnesses each year. Two deaths in 14 years makes raw milk a comparatively low-risk option. They haven't made lettuce illegal yet, right? they tried to do something to Chipotle.
Okay. You know? Well, they tried irradiation. And I that was something that was going to be done to raw foods to irradiate the food, killing the bacteria. But I really don't know where that irradiation stands right now.
You know, that's not good either. So the advocates for raw milk say it's tastier and more nutritious. Now, I suppose I won't ask you if you've ever tasted raw milk. But do you know anybody that's ever tasted raw milk? What did they say about it?
Okay. There happens to be a very, very reasonable location to buy raw milk for your pets. And, of course, giving it to my dogs, I tasted it. Absolutely. It is a different taste. And the other part of it is there's, raw kefir, raw butter, raw yogurt, raw cottage cheese, all very delicious.
I remember, when we were talking about the, use of silver as a bacteriostatic agent, and this was mentioned in ancient Egypt. You know, they would have milk and they would put it in containers, and they would put silver coins in there because silver stops the growth of bacteria, and that's how they would keep the milk safe to drink. But here's the deal: if you pasteurize milk And the reason they do it is coming out of cows raised in unsanitary conditions. So you have to pasteurize it, which means it's heating up the milk to a level temperature that can kill the bacteria, kills the bad bacteria, also kills the good bacteria and destroys nutrients in the milk. So the potential health benefits that are normally derived from raw milk are lost. And, you know, I think that's the bottom line. The reason people want raw milk is because raw milk has health benefits. In fact, they even say that the availability of some of the nutrients left in pasteurized milk are not that bioavailable. For example, you know, calcium or CLA, which may be destroyed in the whole process. So getting back to, you know, the history was very interesting. So back in around 1889, there was a doctor in New Jersey, and he knew there was a problem with contaminated milk, but he also understood the cause of the problem. Now, here's a perfect example, again, addressing the underlying cause of the problem versus just treating the symptom. You know, pasteurization is treating the symptom of the problem. The problem was unsanitary conditions that the cows were living in. So remove the address the problem, create sanitary conditions. Instead, they decided to treat the symptom. We'll just pasteurize the milk. Well, he said what we want to do is certify milk production for cleanliness. And in 1893, they had a system where they could enlist dairy farmers who were willing to meet their strict standards of hygiene in the production of clean, certified milk. Problem solved, so they thought. However, even though under these conditions, drinking raw milk was perfectly safe, there was another, I guess you've heard of this person before, Nathan Strauss.
I have.
In this context or other contexts?
No, other contexts. Other context. Yeah.
So Nathan Strauss, who was a philanthropist, you know, wealthy guy, he lost a child to diphtheria that was contracted probably from milk. And he felt that the only safe milk was pasteurized milk. So he used his money. And he was also, I guess some people may remember, maybe not, he was a co-owner of Macy's department store.
I doubt that they'll remember, but they may know, yes, that name.
He went around the country and Europe promoting pasteurization. So, you know, when you repeat something over and over again, people eventually think it's the truth.
I think also as a wealthy philanthropist, as that wealthy retailer that he was, I think he saw an opportunity. And what he did, he subsidized milk depots, and that was organized to provide low-cost pasteurized milk. So his milk, possibly much lower in nutritional benefit, was much, much cheaper than the milk from cows that had been fed well and maintained in very sanitary conditions. So, voila, he had a sales opportunity there. And so I don't necessarily think he was entirely philanthropically motivated.
Well, during this time, and I guess we're looking at the late 1800s, early 1900s, infant mortality began to fall dramatically, not because they started pasteurizing milk per se, but other technological advances were beginning, like chlorination of water supplies, because just like the milk, the water, you know, could be, get contaminated very easily back then.
How about doctors washing their hands when they were delivering babies?
That's right.
Biggie.
They made a big deal about that in that movie I mentioned about Louis Pasteur in France. And when he said, you know, he was able to show that there were bacteria and this is what caused disease, the thinking at that time that the bacteria were the result of the disease, not the cause of the disease. But he insisted, he was not a doctor, by the way, Louis Pasteur, but he told the doctors, wash your hands, boil your instruments, because it was very common for women during childbirth to die from infection. But if you wash your hands and boiled your instruments, that didn't happen. But he was still ridiculed. Then he discovered an anthrax vaccine for sheep, because sheep were also predisposed to anthrax, and they would die. And he was now, you know, his herds were being saved that he was vaccinating. So eventually, okay. They realized, what he was saying was important.
Okay, but where was the anthrax coming from? What were they doing? They were feeding the sheep poorly. I'm going to say poorly, just not to get into the nasty stuff that they were feeding the sheep.
But they also said the anthrax was in the soil, too. So it was something you couldn't, at least back then, eradicate. I don't think, and I don't know, I have to ask a vet, do they give sheep anthrax vaccines now, or they have that issue under control?
Can't answer that. Okay. Don't know. But my guess is that they understood feeding sheep parts to sheep was not a good choice.
Right. So getting back, we're now in the early 1900s. So you had a choice back then. You could get pasteurized milk, or you could get certified milk that was raw. And they managed to coexist for a time.
About that? A choice. What a concept.
Yeah. But around the mid-1940s, something happened. In 1944, a media smear campaign was launched with a series of completely bogus magazine articles designed to spark fear at the very thought of consuming raw milk.
Spark fear, control the population.
Is this a common theme that we see today even, right?
Descendants of Machiavelli?
Government officials and medical professionals, swayed by corporate dollars and lies, have effectively taken this valuable healing food from the mouths of people. Only in recent years has the consumer backlash against valueless processed foods grown to the point where access to clean, raw milk is once again being considered a dietary right. So that brings us up to today. It's still illegal, but more and more people are, I guess, getting tired of the government telling them what they can and can't eat.
Well, I think more and more people are finding the effects of well-chosen foods in their daily routines makes the difference between being vulnerable to any kind of virus, bacteria, or infectious disease that might be circulating and not being vulnerable to those circulating microbes and staying healthy. And so that picture is becoming clearer and clearer, and people are making more informed choices. And that music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zimperelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slabin. We'll be right back after these messages.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I just have a little bit of information to share with our listeners. First of all, tomorrow from 12 to 2, I will be on Hallandale Beach Boulevard at Locatel. So just east of US 1 on the north side of Hallandale Beach Boulevard, you will see Locatel, and I will be there from 12 to 2 talking about the benefits of Janet's best formulas, all kinds of very, very supportive, health supportive information with regard to choosing quality supplements. The other news is Saturday is Green Planet Fest, and that happens at the Broward County Convention Center, just on the south side of 18th Street Causeway. So going east from US 1 to the Broward Convention Center, you can find over the weekend Green Planet Fest, and Dr. Slavin and I will be doing a presentation from 2 to 3 in the afternoon about breast cancer prevention. So all of the things that you can do step by step by step laid out for you on preventing breast cancer. So that's my news for this morning. And right now we're talking about food safety, and it goes far beyond the issue of raw milk. That's the main part of our discussion this morning. That food safety, you might have thought that by choosing processed foods, choosing foods that had preservatives in them, you were protecting yourself from a potentially foodborne illness. But in my view, quite the opposite. What you do over time of ingesting those processed foods, you weaken your immune system because you no longer have access to the enzymes, the nutrient substances in the unprocessed foods. So, Dr. Slavin, where do we stand now with regard to the FDA? What laws are there preventing us from accessing raw milk? Why has this been allowed to continue when we know what we know?
I think this page better, but I think they said there's about 10 million people in this country that consume raw milk on a regular basis. You would think with that many people consuming raw milk, we would know by now whether it's safe or not. I think we know the answer to that. You know, it seems to be safe because the people consuming raw milk are getting it from cows that are raised properly. By the way, sale of raw milk is legal in 10 states, illegal in 11 states and the District of Columbia, and then the other states have varying restrictions on the purchase or consumption. But since the 1920s and 1930s, when they started routine pasteurization, they say, it's dramatically reduced instances of milk-transmitted diseases such as typhoid fever and diphtheria.
Wait a minute. They can have it both ways, can they, Dr.
No, of course
Slavin?
Not. But this is how they pass along disinformation because milk was not the only reason for typhoid fever and diphtheria.
So if we're drinking pasteurized milk, why do we have to have DPT vaccines? Dr. Slavin?
I think for the same reason you have to have pasteurized milk. You know, they're protecting an industry. these, you see, this is where the government loses credibility when they tell you things that are inaccurate. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says there is no health benefit from raw milk that cannot be obtained from pasteurized milk.
I disagree with that statement. I'm going to say the pasteurized milk has no enzymes. We know that enzymes play a huge role in health and well-being of humans.
So, I mean, this is, but I'm pointing this out not because we're just focusing on raw milk, but you can see this pattern over and over again with vaccines, with, well, let's even take prohibition. Why was prohibition, you know, in other words, why was the sale of alcohol made illegal and then it was reversed? Why does tobacco, why are these truly deadly substances legal? Why is tobacco legal? It kills, so, it's a factor in the death of so many people, as is alcohol.
Sugar.
Yeah, but raw milk is what we have to be concerned about.
Okay, so the whole concept of disinformation, misleading a population, putting fear into the population as a means of manipulating. So instead of having that whole issue with regard to raw milk or pasteurized milk, let's talk about quality milk and let the consumers make their decisions. I think that many times the mothers whose children have been vaccinated, whose children consume vast quantities of pasteurized commercial milk, those children have upper respiratory issues, possibly allergies, possibly digestive symptoms that the kids who are eating or consuming raw dairy products, they're not experiencing those things. Those children who are not given highly processed, high sugar content foods, those children tend to thrive. It's obvious.
Now, the risk of foodborne illnesses are much greater from other foods, such as, believe it or not, pasteurized milk, or mass-produced meat and poultry, or your greens that are bagged, you know, in those plastic bags. The risk is much greater than raw milk, provided the raw milk comes from a dairy that adheres to proper standards.
But so, those proper standards cost money, Dr. Slavin.
Well, the CDC and the FDA both continue to misuse, manipulate, and suppress data in order to frighten the public. Now, why would they be doing that unless they had an interest in protecting certain industries? And we know that's true. They protect the pharmaceutical industry with mandating vaccinations. You know, in California, they're being mandated. Where's the proof that vaccines have made the difference? Because I see conflicting evidence where, you know, they can't really show the proof. They can just give you anecdotal, stories that say, oh, yeah, look, we started vaccinations and the incidence went down. But they fail to mention the incident actually went down before the vaccinations were introduced.
Very, very clear statistical information with regard to the polio vaccines.
And then they failed to give you the full story about how many people are actually being injured by vaccines. And they could say, if you were to support your immune system by eating real food, for example, instead of, I don't know, would you call
manipulated
it
food?
Unreal food? You know, what is real food? Real food is food that you're eating in its natural state. It hasn't been processed in any way. That means if it comes in a box or a jar or a can, something's been done to it, so it's not in its natural state.
It'd be interesting to take a look at the countries across the world, if there are other nations whose government have essentially mandated the use of pasteurization with regard to dairy products so that the population could not access raw dairy.
I think in Europe, I remember, actually, when I was in Europe, I saw these vending machines where you can purchase raw milk. I guess they figure. Yeah. So what is it about raw milk that distinguishes it from pasteurized milk? Well, it's loaded with healthy bacteria, which is good for your digestive tract. It has more than 60 digestive enzymes, growth factors, and immunoglobulins. In fact, they were making products, and they still do, where they were getting the immunoglobulins from New Zealand cattle.
Right.
And this is, help your immune system.
Right.
What do they call that? I forget.
Okay.
You don't remember that?
I remember. I know what you're talking about. It is the first milk after the animal gives birth. And it is very, very different consistency than the milk that tends to be produced later on. And it is essentially almost like a vaccine, transporting from the mother animal or the mother human to the offspring, some of the already, present, antibodies.
And they found it's not species specific, so you can get it from a cow and it works in humans and, just help.
So both Dr. Slavin and I are having a brain feast with regard to this name.
But the raw milk is also rich in conjugated linoleic acid, which fights cancer. Also, raw milk is rich in beneficial raw fats, amino acids, and proteins in a highly bioavailable form, all 100% digestible. And it has a lot of vitamins in there, vitamins A, B, C, D, E, and K in highly bioavailable forms and a very balanced blend of minerals, including calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, and iron, whose absorption is enhanced by live lactobacilli. You don't have any of this in pasteurized milk. So, interestingly, if you look at people who drink raw milk, it is not uncommon to see improvements or complete resolution of troubling health issues, including allergies, problems like eczema.
Allergies. Dr. Slavin, how many people do you see who say, well, I have a lactose intolerance, and they will talk about all manner of different symptoms that tend to occur when they consume dairy products. And just the accumulation of mucus in the respiratory tract for so many people isn't just an allergy. It's how your body reacts to this very, very highly processed, manipulated food. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. We'll be right back after this. Please. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. and this is the final segment of Natural Doc Radio. Today we've been reviewing the importance of raw milk in your diet and how you may have been misled by government agencies and corporations with vested interests in having you buy their product. All of the information behind milk choices and what you want is quality. And certainly we have seen that there is a huge benefit to consuming raw dairy. Vitamins, minerals, enzymes, certain types of fats, very, very specific support for your immune system. And so if you want to make quality choices, then the way to go, raw milk. And this is a very important viewpoint of your entire profile of dietary choices. It should be some very, very high quality raw vegetables. For certain people, you might consider raw fish, even raw beef. And in other areas, again, a quality melange of all of these foods in soups with a very, very high quality broth base. That broth base, again, creating that background digestive situation where you're able to absorb the minerals and the vitamins, and you're able to actually get to what you need to support good health.
So before the break, we were talking about how they get the immunoglobulins from the milk, and they use the first milk, which is called colostrum. Humans have that too. This is when the mother transfers all their immunoglobulins to the baby, because that gives them passive immunity against all the bacteria and viruses that the mother has antibodies against. Well, you can get that from cows, and they were making products. They would call it either colostrum or transfer factors, these immunoglobulins from the cows. Maybe that's another reason. You don't get this from pasteurized milk. You get it from raw milk. Now, here's what you do get from pasteurized milk. You get a beverage that has no bacteria, no beneficial bacteria. All the proteins and enzymes are completely destroyed. The immunoglobulins, the metal binding proteins, the vitamin binding proteins, carrier proteins, growth factors, such as lactoferrin, are all destroyed. Many of the vitamins and minerals are rendered biologically unusable. And the fats in the milk are damaged and destabilized. Xanthine oxidase comes to mind also with homogenization. We mentioned that that's another problem with milk. They homogenize it. Xanthine oxidase has been associated with coronary artery disease. But here's why CAFOs, confined animal feeding operations, are a real serious problem. This is why they pasteurize milk, because they continue to raise cows in those conditions, and those conditions require that they be given drugs to counter the infections they acquire in those poor sanitary conditions. And these are breeding grounds for a lot of harmful bacteria. So what do you find? Well, so therefore they have to pasteurize the milk, but they don't do anything to take the drugs out of the milk that have been found. They find various hormones in milk, such as estrogen. You find other sex hormones. You find antifungals. You find anti-inflammatories. You find antibiotics in milk.
Dr. Slavin, in any of this research, have you come across the use of the recombinant bovine growth hormone that was such a big issue a number of years ago? That recombinant bovine growth hormone, certainly an additional contaminant in milk and contributing to multiple cases of mastitis in the milking cows.
Well, they gave that to the cows so they cows would produce more milk. I mean, they would produce gallons of milk a day. And they also mentioned that, you know, feeding cows alfalfa, which you mentioned is also genetically modified. But besides that, it's a xenoestrogen. So that extra estrogen that they're giving to the cows increases milk production. But it's also found in the milk. So, you know, maybe all of us need to be aware that milk is a source of xenoestrogens that you might want to be aware of, because that might be a risk factor for breast cancer and prostate cancer.
Oh, a risk factor for a number of different hormonally driven cancers. And let's go to a far more common situation, which would be bloating, cramping, mood changes, extreme discomfort during a monthly cycle. Certain types of problems with ovulation, a variety of different hormonally caused issues.
Now, I mentioned a lot of contaminants in milk that comes from confined animal feeding operations, because they have to use a lot of these. And some of these contaminants either are fed to the animals deliberately, or it comes in the food they're being fed, because they're also not being fed their natural diet either. And now you compare that with cows that are raised in a natural environment where it's clean, it's humane. Raw milk from these cows are clean, nutritious, loaded with good bacteria. And but you can't have that. That's illegal.
Just protecting our well-being. Very, very important information for people who want to stay healthy. You might consider searching out raw dairy products.
Would they be breaking the law, though, if they...
No, not if they had animals at home that they planned to feed the raw dairy to.
It's against the law to sell it. Is it against the law to consume it?
No, I think the law in Florida is... it's against the law to sell it for human consumption. So the production of raw dairy is fine. It must be labeled when it's sold for not for human consumption.
Okay, so I guess the best you can do when you go to a supermarket now is you can find milk that's it's pastured. Unfortunately, it's still pasteurized.
Yeah, there's, I think it's Organic Valley. They have grass-fed, non-homogenized, but pasteurized milk.
I wonder how they came up with the name pasteurized. It has nothing to do with pastured cows.
No, Louis Pasteur.
Okay, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
I passed that one.
That was good.
Okay. I couldn't remember colostrum.
Because... Again, it's another way of hiding what they're really doing to the milk.
Yes, indeed.
You know, what was
misleading people?
Yeah, what was another term they were using for something else that was misleading as well? But there are a lot of them that don't let the people actually know what they're consuming, because they make it sound so nice.
Well, when we talk about confined animal feeding operations, one of the biggest consumer of antibiotic substances in this country would be livestock.
Pound for pound, livestock use more antibiotics than humans.
Right. And consequently, you think there's not a carryover content of antibiotics into the consumer of whatever food that is? For sure there is. And so when you then have an infection, you may very well not respond to that particular antibiotic. You may have developed antibiotic resistance. And the problem has become so widespread that the government has actually mandated removing antibiotics from livestock feed, I believe by the year 2018.
but not genetically modified.
No, those are safe. The government tells us that that's safe.
But as
not to worry,
more and more people understand what's going on with their food supply, they're rejecting it. That's why there's such a big push to block the labeling of these foods. And by the way, you mentioned antibiotics. That's how you get the antibiotics without a prescription.
I use that line of yours. I always attribute it to you, Dr. Slater.
I just want, if you can, you can get meat and chicken without antibiotic-free and hormone-free. You have to just read the label, though, because most of it is not.
That's true. And we are out of time here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back tomorrow at 10.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected
sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinion